Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you guys smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Tonight I'm flying K-Solo because Queen of the Little People is not here, as well as Miss Drama is not here, and neither is my homie, Mr. J. They just leave me hanging, but it's all right. I'm still here, and we want to holler at you anyway. Call in number 347-826-7435. Once again, that call in number 347-826-7435. And, you know, I know some of y'all are a little too scared to call in, so you can email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, and I will answer your question. Once again, that's smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, and I will answer your questions, comments, and concerns. Whatever you want to talk about, I got you. So, in lieu of that, as always, you know how I always do. I always got to talk about and differentiate between crazy and what's not crazy. That's why I talk about the things that crazy people do, so that there is never a gray area. It's like crazy is over here and normal insane is over here. Case in point, couple robbed a bank and had the nerve, and I'm going to say their names because they stupid, John Morgan and his girlfriend Ashley DuBose. They were charged with robbery for the heist of a savings bank in Asheville, Ohio. What did they do? After they robbed the bank, these fools posted images of him holding a wad of cash in his mouth. And they got caught because there was a tip saying that there were people on the internet, on Facebook, because of course they were smart enough to post it on their Facebook page. Yeah, we getting money. Now, this could be things that stupid people do, but I say crazy, because I've never understood the fascination with posting your whole life on Facebook. Why? Makes no sense whatsoever. I'm taking a dump. I'm going down the street. Oh, I got some strawberries. Oh, I'm eating strawberries. Hey, you know what? I just drank some water. It's so funny. Everything you're doing all day on Facebook. And you sit on Facebook watching other people talk about what they do all day on Facebook. Don't get me wrong. I have Facebook. I enjoy conversing with my people who are not in town, whatnot, because it's an easy way to keep up with friends and family, whatnot. But reporting everything that I'm doing, and if I'm committing crime, putting the evidence, my Facebook account, putting the wad of money in your mouth, one, you don't know where that money's been. That's some dirty, unclean, that's the filthiest thing you can do. A million people have handled them dollars that you had in your mouth. Anyway, so John and Ashley, I hope that Facebook post was worth it, because Y'all going to jail. Facebook. Yay. Speaking of which, I consider myself a nerd. I call myself an alpha nerd. You know, those people that can, I feel like I can talk to people, get along, be able to, as I say, converse with folks and not make them feel uncomfortable or feel uncomfortable talking to people, but be a nerd at the same time because I'm proud of my nerdness. But there is nerdiness that is taking it too far. Case in point, having a Chewbacca, I said that wrong, having a Chewbacca toilet paper dispenser that roars like a Wookiee. I love my sci-fi stuff. I love my comics, whatnot. But I'm not going to have a toilet paper dispenser that every time I pull some paper. No. That quite possibly may be one of the dumbest things that I've ever heard. And yes, I would say that that would be what crazy people do. And I'm not dissing Star Wars people. I know I like Star Wars too, but if my toilet paper looks like a character, my toilet paper dispenser looks like a character and sounds like a character every day, all day, I mean, I might have to resort to constipation. Just saying. Doesn't sound right. Doesn't feel right. I can't mimic the Wookiee sound from Chewbacca on Star Wars, and I couldn't imagine that all day, every day. I mean, if you live with somebody, you know, you got a significant other, I'm thinking that y'all breaking up or something, you're going to fight because you have that. Just speculation on my part. I don't see normal folks doing that. But hey, if you got your Chewbacca toilet paper dispenser and you rocking it and you want to be alone forever, do your thing. I hear it, Smooth Drama. I approve that message. I hope it works out for you. Because I don't think that I'll be doing anything like that anytime soon. Because I like to think of myself as sane and normal and all that other stuff. But that's just me. Now, in Florida, there's a man, a black man at that. I try not to play the racial politics, but of course, every now and again, you got to say it. And this is what makes it crazy, because it's a black man who's accused of tossing, and I quote, deadly urine at a cop. Now, I mean, I don't know what deadly urine is. I mean, because I didn't know, like, urine was deadly, but I guess it is, like, if you got the plague, or maybe if you're one of them, those 0.0001%ers who are pissing acid, I guess. But anyway, there's a Florida man who's in jail because he tossed a liter of deadly urine, as the cops called it, as a police officer. Alfonso Lofton was arrested after, I guess, the police responded to a call at his house, and they knocked the door, and when he opened the door, I guess he threw the urine from the boat. And they call it a deadly weapon because urine can cause respiratory infections or permanent bodily harm, according to the report. Now, I read some place where they say pee is like sterile and is safe, but now, according to the police, pee is a deadly weapon. And I guess what happened was after he threw it, he barricaded himself in the house, and I guess they tried to unsuccessfully get at him, get him to surrender. So they kicked a hole in the door and shot him with a stun gun, which I'm like, and this is a 300-pound man. And I guess when they attempted to arrest him, he resisted and was kicking, and he tossed some more urine. I mean, I'm sorry. But a giant man throwing urine at the cops, and I don't know. It's kind of weird because they didn't kill him. I mean, this is a guy, I guess he had to have done nothing and not be guilty to get killed, which is a sad testimony. But I'm changing the subject. But I'm trying to stay on point and saying that he actually threw stuff and resisted arrest, and he didn't get shot. I'm like, so if you don't want to get shot, go to Florida and throw piss at the police, and they won't kill you? I mean, is that the message? Should I stock up on pee just in case they decide to break into here so I don't get killed? These are the questions that I'm asking. Or I don't know. Maybe I was the, as Miss 100 said, their fetish. He just happened to run into those cops in Florida who like getting urine thrown on them. I don't want. Anyway, I'm just gonna get off of this because that's crazy. But of course, you always gotta save the best for last in the segment. And what tops it is the man who tried to kill a spider, a Michigan man who tried to kill a spider with his lighter, which, you know, on some occasions, I guess it'd be cool if you just want to burn the spider. I don't know. I don't see why it's what you got to shoot for, or something, a spider. But this dude, he tried to kill a spider with a lighter at the gas station while he's at the pump. So, this dude remains nameless. He saw the spider sitting by his fuel door on the car. You know, the fuel door is where you're putting the fuel in. And I guess he said he is extremely frightened by spiders. So, he pulls out his lighter and attempted to burn it right by the fuel door. And, of course, he started a little blaze. And it shows, there's a video showing the flames erupting on the side of the car, on the pump and the pavement. And it showed him running for safety and then using the fire extinguisher to put out the flames. See? Then you wonder why I say the things that crazy people do. because you'll have an individual like this who is like, you know what, I hate spiders. And he just overcome with his fear, and he has a lighter next to the fuel gauge, the open fuel gauge, where he's pumping gas in the spider in the lighter. Kind of crazy. But who am I? I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I just know that when you meet special people like that, give them a pound. I mean, I don't know if I necessarily want to shake their hand because, you know, homie throwing the urine and whatnot. I mean, but acknowledge your crazy person. Maybe your acknowledgement will stop them from being crazy. I don't know. It's a guess. Normal, everyday thing for crazy folk. Don't know. Don't care. I think I'm going on a break here. This is the life in the day. Prince Paul.
I said one for the titty, two for the booty. Come on, Prince Paul, and do your duty.
Holding one, the only together you got to move. Drummer, smooth drummer.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F. The N Word. That was Prince Paul, A Life in the Day. And you want to holler at me, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Get at me on email, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, greatly appreciated. In the meantime, shout out to Australia for housing yet another deadly snake. Now, you know, if you know me, you listen to me. I am not a fan of the slithery ones. The poisonous, non-poisonous, doesn't matter. Fake snake, you got me. I am not a fan. Anyway, so they just discovered yet another deadly snake in Australia, who by far lead all countries in deadly snakes. They have several death adders that they have in their surrounding regions. You know, they have dozens of deadly adders. So this one they call the Kimberley death adder, or I'm going to attempt to say this, Acanthophis cryptomydros. And it's unique from the other ones because it's a highly venomous adder. And it's about 20 inches long, which is way too long for me, and it has a diamond-shaped head. You know, it's one of those sit and wake, but these snakes are like super camouflaged. They look like a rock or a bunch of leaves. You know, now they're very slow, allegedly, but you won't see them till it's too late. They bite your ass and kill you. Now, I say this because I got the homies, past show guests, the Australian Sex Party, political party. You know, they always invite folks, come on down to Australia. Hey, we having a good time. And then I always read these articles and hear about the many poisonous snakes and other uniquely deadly creatures that reside along the Australian coast. And I'm like, yeah, that don't help the travel agents out at all. Like, you know what? How do we sell Australia? It's got great beaches. And, you know, tourism, you can go out in the desert and see the lands where the Aboriginals are. And the dozens of different death adders. No, that probably won't be in there. Nor will the whole, yeah, you can go and they have all kinds of poisonous jellyfish and sting octopus, octopi, whichever one you want to call it. Yeah. So to all those people pushing Australia, you know, because I've actually seen the commercial, come to Australia, and I'm sitting there like, shh, there is no way. It's not happening. It is not going down. But, yeah, anybody want to go to Australia, tell me about it if you survive. Not that I'm being bleak or anything like that. I'm just saying it's a real possibility since they do have a, I'm going to use this word, plethora of venomous snakes. And we ain't even talking about people. Anyway, so speaking of venomous people, I ran into a story that just, man, it was the craziest story that you could read. It's about a woman who, Susan Kopstick, she was raped by this guy. His name, her former partner, Drummond is his name. And I guess he raped her. And he started, I guess he had overdosed on paracetamol tablets. And so what she did, they just, I guess they had been together, he lost his job, and he was like, he's just mad. You know, folks get mad, whatnot. And so what happens is, I guess he rapes her that morning. And this dude, he had brought with him a rucksack containing tape and Viagra. And he told her, and this is what she says, that he threatened to slit her throat and let her die on the kitchen floor. So he has his overdose. She calls the ambulance because, in her words, she didn't want people to be saying nice stuff about him at the funeral. And so she saved his life so that he can go to jail, to which he got sentenced 10 years in prison. Now, that is a different kind of story. Because, I mean, anybody else, but saving your rapist so that they can go to jail, you know, I mean, they get 10 years worth of prison time. But I guess she was saying, look, I'm saving him so people wouldn't be doing all this at the funeral and everybody having great thoughts of him, like, oh, he's a great guy. She's like, nah, he's a bastard. And I want him to live so the world would know he's a bastard. Now, to me, that, if you look up scorned woman in the dictionary, and mind you, obviously, she's a little bit beyond scorned because he had raped her that day. So you have to have a lot of hate and resolve to be able to, one, hold back from killing that person yourself when you see they're incapacitated, and, or just do nothing, just go to the store, because he's dead anyway. She saved his life so that he could look like a scumbag for the rest of his. That's really, really harsh. That is really, really harsh. I can't say that I've ever seen anything quite as harsh as that. I mean, that is one of the toughest ones that you'll ever hear about. I'd be curious to see how other folks would react to that. Would you save your rapist life so he'd go to jail? Mind you, he's 62, and maybe he won't survive. But still, that's crazy. you want to talk about it, of course, 347-826-7435. Once again, 347-826-7435. If not, I just kept spinning with it. I thought it was interesting. And, of course, we're going through your moral dilemmas. There was a, right here, but not in the Bay Area, but in Cali, high school football player kicks a helmetless opponent. But he got attacked by the player's family in the locker room after the game. So this is a, you know, two teams, Lakewood and Long Beach Millikan. And I guess there was a Millikan player spotted kicking a Lakewood player, Victor Bates, in the head after his helmet fell off during the play. So when the game was over, family from Lakewood, and they say possibly Bates, and it's like, come on. Duh. Of course it's his family. They went into the locker room and attacked four players. Now, they say none of the players was injured badly, but the police reports have been filed, and of course charges will be pressed. I mean, I don't know how I would react on this one. I mean, because you're talking about you're in the stands and the helmet comes off and you see a guy kicking your relative in the face with cleats. I mean that could have been a grievous injury. Hell, it could have been, like, deadly. You know, they kick him in the throat, whatnot, with cleats, whatnot, puncture a hole. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that could have happened. And conversely, you have the family, like, nah, ain't nobody get a loved one, and they go into the locker room. Now, see, that's gangster. I respect that. I respect protecting your folks way more than anything else. It's like, if you kicking my people, we can get you. Now, there's some folks who would be like, no, that's hooligan, that's ghetto, whatever. And I'm like, hey, you know what? You want to call it ghetto? I say you're protecting your folks. Hey, I got no problem with it, actually. I think you kind of need a little bit more of that. You know, you grievously try to injure somebody who's defenseless at the time. I'm guessing the young man who did it and his teammates, if they thought remotely about doing something like that again, they'll remember the ass-whooping that they got in the locker room. Yeah, hesitate to do something dirty. And everybody else on the team will hesitate to do something dirty. Because everything is, damn, is somebody going to come in the locker room on me too? It's not a bad thing. Now, you know, I know there's folks, oh yeah, that's wrong. Whatever. Think about it. It's the greater good. Like, you hear these folks always arguing for the guns. I'm like, look, this is old fashioned. You kick our dude, we kick you. So don't kick our dude, and we won't have to kick you. Real simple like. I love it. I could be wrong. And don't really care whether you think I'm wrong or not, because I just don't. But what I do care a little bit, about a little bit of gossip, just a little bit. You know, if y'all know, 50 Cent, the show on Star is called Power. If you haven't watched it, it is definitely one of the best shows on TV. It's off the chain good. He, of course, you know, there's that other show on TV, Empire, which I personally have a problem with the name, because it's called Empire, like having a record company is an empire. It's not. You have a record company. And in my neighborhood alone, there's probably 4 or 5 people who have a record company. Don't mean you're doing squat. You just got one. Yo, I'm independent. I do my own stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's on my word. I got this. I'm doing my studio. It's in my mom's basement. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not going generally stereotype it, but to me, when I think of empire, I think of ancient Kemet, what you call Egypt. Think Rome, Greece, you know. But that's empire to me. Making music, bad music at that, does not an empire make to me. But I digress. 50 Cent was dissed because they showed them saying, and yeah, 50 Cent must be tripping. So, of course, he comes back, says, fucking Empire, and get out of here with that PD team bullshit. And they showed him where he posted a video of himself assuming the role of the director of Empire. And the skit focused heavily on some man-on-man action. And so he's like, cut, cut. Look, buddy, I'm going to need you to kiss him in his mouth with passion. With a little fire, you know, like you've done this before. You know, give it to him. So it's funny. Kind of funny. But as you know, I mean, we have an inordinate amount of tongue kissing in all these shows. I mean, all the shows that I watch, How to Get Away with Murder, and I mean, a lot of homosexual tongue kissing. Now, I'm not a homophobe, but I'm like, I don't care too much for heterosexual kissing. And I mean, it take away from the show, I think. You know, there's certain areas where it fits, but it's like it's like you just throw it in, like, oh, a dude's got a kiss. It I don't see what it adds to the show, except for you just want to show dudes kissing. I don't care who's kissing. It's like, look, if it don't really fit the show, why it gotta happen? But that's just me. And they said they made up, but personally to me, Power, off the chain. What I've seen the Empire, just the name alone turns me off. And from what I've heard, I'm not really missing anything, but I guess if you want to hear some whack music, everybody's like, oh, you don't like Empire? No, I don't. But I'm a hater, so I don't count, I guess, if you want to talk about it. You can hit me up. If not, I'm done with the subject anyway, because I don't care. I have my own opinion, and everybody can like it or not. But stop from being a hater. I'm going to break, because I'm feeling a haterade coming up out of me, and I'm just going to mellow out. This is Gene Gray, Baseball. Thank you.
manager. Need to retire. Check the signals from my manager, the first base coach. He's throwing time, telling me labels, playing cutthroat. Yo, I hit him with a tape for shit. They say you take a check swing. I hear the crowd sing, got me plugging the telephone ring. He says he'll be with me in a minute, no doubt. My team will run down. Three pitches later, I strike, get him out of yo. Happens to the real estate because the labels want to sign up to commercial wannabes. And if it ain't that, it's just a little bit more. Saying on he put in a screw bait to scream lyrics as hardcore. I adore.
Any hit. Baseball is not just a sport. It's a verbal, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional level that we are on. It's about time that all you devils was gone. Rapping this over to like porn. I said it in mention. If you cannot handle this, then for your ears is not intended. You can play the documented. Or add these quotes when you speak to be exploited, then your spot will get exploded. Bases are loaded. But there is no RBIs in the stadium. We play tries to be hard as titanium.
Welcome back. That was Jean Grey baseball. First batter up. That'll be me. So, in light of that, I have something for the ladies here. There's a couple of black female writers, Jessica Williams and Phoebe Robinson, who want comedy to stop ignoring black women. You know, Williams is a writer correspondent with the Jon Stewart Show, and Phoebe Robinson is a consultant for Comedy Central's Broad City and a writer for MTV's Girl Code. And you know, they're both upset with being the most times one of few black women in production rooms, and I quote, "It's ridiculous. I'm the only one because I know 3,500 hilarious women of color that you're ignoring," Robinson said. So she says, "I'm going to go to do my best to try and bring them along with me or represent for a range of colors." To which I would generally agree. I'm sure there's quite a few women who women of color who could add to the diversity pot and be funny, and especially on late night television, make us laugh, make women tune in. But I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I'm going to tell you why, ladies, that is not ever going to happen. I know the fellas are like, "You gonna give away the secret?" Yes, yes I am. Because you know what? Folks don't care about this type of stuff anyway. Because when you say you're a conspiracy theory, 99.999% of the population are like, "Ah, there you go." You say conspiracy theory, they just throw everything you say out. But I would throw out my point, and you can take it, believe it or not, like Ripley. The reason why you will never have black women, women of color on late night comedy shows, whatnot, because of booty calls. Yep. Let me explain. See, as we know, I'm not going to presume, but we can allegedly say that a lot of times what black people are watching, white people will watch just to see what we're watching. Thus, conversely, if black women are watching late night shows and laughing and enjoying themselves, they're less likely to be bored and make those calls that they make, like, "Hey, what you doing? I'm bored." You call the guy already knows, "I'm bored." They're making that call because they're bored, and they want you to come over. Conversely, if black women are engaged in watching these late night shows, they are less likely to make that call. Thus, you have the curiosity factor. White women, all the other women are looking like, "What are they watching?" And they start watching too. And if they start laughing, then all of a sudden, booty calls will decrease substantially. Then what you got? You have a bunch of happy women sitting at home, not making any calls, laughing and giggling, having a good time, watching TV by themselves. Where does that lead them in? sitting by the phone waiting on that call, staring at the cell like, it's going to happen. At 11 o'clock, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But it doesn't happen. So the world is all messed up. And then you have all these guys who you say 90% of their existence is about the booty call. You take that away from what they got. Got nothing. Your life is over with. So suicide rate will go up. Testosterone levels will rise. You'll have more fights and riots out in the street. Why? Because you women want to laugh at night. That's why it's not going to happen. Don't believe me? Think about it. Just think about it. Because, you know, you women, y'all sneaky with it. You call a guy and, you know, it's like it didn't happen. So it covers you on that end. But what I'm saying is, what these ladies are talking about, they want late night funny from black women and other women of color. Nope, ain't going to happen. What I just said, society will be jacked up because you want to laugh. That's why I'm a conspiracy theorist. Take it, run with it, believe it, or say, you know what, Mr. F the N-word, you crazy. That don't make no sense whatsoever. I would disagree with you, but I would disagree with you anyway. So, but what I won't disagree with is Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders. Y'all know him as someone who's running for president here in these United States of America. And he told an audience when he was speaking at Liberty University that in many ways, the United States was created on racist principles, to which a historian, Sean Willits, a professor at Princeton, I might add, said that, it's the funny part. He notes that the Civil War began over a disagreement over whether the Constitution recognized enslaved people as property under national law, while Senator John C. Calhoun of South Carolina said the document was pro-slavery, whereas the Northern Republicans abolitionists said it wasn't. And I'm going to continue quoting this man who says the myth, and notice I said the myth, that the United States was founded on racial slavery persists, notably among scholars and activists on the left who are rightly angry at America's racist past. Says the myth, ironically, has led advocates for social justice to reject Lincoln's and Douglas' view of the Constitution in favor of Calhoun's. Now, one, this is a political thing because Willits is he's a backer of Hillary Clinton, who is running against Bernie Sanders. But I'm like, what did Bernie Sanders say that wasn't true? I mean, 41 of the 54 people who signed the Constitution, well, was there for the writing of the Constitution, they held slaves. The 3/5 was put in there as part of the Great Compromise, because they're like, hey, we got slaves, and it was about representation. Three-fifths of a man, you can count two guys as one and one-fifth of a person. So I think what I'm saying here is, in the Constitution, at the time of the writing, you say like 75-80% of the people who were there deliberating were slaveholders, meaning they owned people like me, which would constitute racism per se, I think, which would be, I think, what we call a racist principle, as Bernie Sanders said. Now, we can disagree. I guess if you want to disagree that 41 of the 54 people held slaves, whatnot, I guess you can look it up and challenge me. Then you can say, well, you know, it wasn't racist because, I don't know. I don't know what your argument would be, because it was racist. Three-fifths of a person for tax and representation, power purposes only. You know, freedom for everybody. They're sitting there deliberating. Freedom for everybody. You know, and the black guy is in there serving. The black guy, the black woman, they're in there serving like, yes, we gonna be free, yeah, everybody, but you. Just us, not you. Just saying. So like Lincoln never freed his own slaves. They didn't get freed until he died. Just one of them facts. Racist principles. Kind of made sense to me. If the majority of the people had slaves and voted to keep themselves in power with the slavery intact, that's a racist principle. The very inception, the very document. Sound like racism to me. Took an amendment a few years later, then took a whole another 100 years after that for the rest of it to be dressed. But I guess that's sour apples too. Racist principles? That's up for everybody out there listening to this side. And on that note, as always, I thank you all for listening. I'm Mr. FN Word, and of course, this is another Smooth Drum presentation. And you know, I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drummer.